Welcome to Sports Mag Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had two posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. On Monday, we shared the National Athletic Trainers Association's position statement on prevention of anterior cruciate ligament injuries. The full text is linked to on our website and it will be in our show notes. The second post this week highlighted a study where the authors found that mice helped demonstrate that a mild traumatic brain injury may be an initiating event for chronic cognitive impairments, white matter degeneration, and neuroinflammation. If we take a closer look at that last post, we find that the authors completed behavioral and neuropathological assessments on mice at 24 months after either single mild traumatic brain injury, repeated mild traumatic brain injury, which they considered five impacts with 48 hours in between, sham impacts, or repeated sham impacts, using a closed-head mild traumatic brain injury rodent model. The authors defined a mild traumatic brain injury as having a short period of post-traumatic signs or symptoms with no skull fracture and no major hemorrhaging. Sham mice were exposed to the same procedures, for example, getting anesthesia, but without the head impact. Three mice from each group were assigned to biochemical analyses, and the remaining mice were processed for histological examination. Behavior and histological analysis started 2 years after the last impact or anesthesia. The researchers used common tests to study motor function, cognition, and anxiety. The authors found that single and repeated mild traumatic brain injury mice had impaired cognition based on traveling 38 to 45% farther to find a target box compared to their respective sham counterparts. The authors also identified that the repeated mild traumatic brain injury mice had more anxiety compared to their sham counterparts. However, the authors found no differences between the groups in motor function. Structurally, the authors found that both the single and repeated impact mice had a reduction in white matter integrity and thickness compared to their sham counterparts. The authors also identified an increase in neuroinflammation in both single and repeated impact mice compared to their respective sham controls. However, there was no injury effect on tau phosphorylation. The authors evaluated in this study behavioral and neuropathological consequences of a single or repeated brain injury over the lifespan of 14 mice and found that both result in long-term problems at varying levels. Repetitive mild traumatic brain injury mice displayed poorer scores on cognition based on the maze exams, as well as displayed worsening degeneration on the histological analysis compared to single mild traumatic brain injury mice. The repetitive mild traumatic brain injury mice demonstrated increased risk-seeking, which is a sign of anxiety following trauma. Though none of the mice demonstrated long-term motor deficits, this may suggest that similar to humans, motor control deficits are typically seen acutely and return to normal fairly quickly. The authors also found notable white matter thinning and neuroinflammation within the single and repetitive mild traumatic brain injury mice. However, there was no abnormal tau phosphorylation, which suggests no signs of chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE. Overall, the authors concluded that even one mild traumatic brain injury can result in harmful consequences later in life. Currently, medical professionals should be aware of this complex injury and recognize mild traumatic brain injuries as potential chronic health condition. In addition, medical professionals should consider rehabilitation services and treatments and seek therapeutic activities that could be used over the lifespan of an athlete to promote healthy brain function. I think that this is actually a nice study to remind clinicians and clinical researchers that these basic science studies can offer us a lot of interesting information and be very illuminating. This is a nice example of how an animal model can demonstrate the potential long-term consequences of an injury, which in humans we may need to follow people longitudinally for decades to see. One of the questions that Jane McDevitt, who wrote the post, posed to readers related to this was the idea of, based on these findings and based on what we know from other epidemiological studies of people with concussions, should we be following up with our patients months or years after their concussion to see how they're doing? This week also celebrated our 7th anniversary of being in operation, and we wanted to acknowledge the support that we've received from researchers and clinicians from around the country and the world, and also acknowledge the great work that our regular writers do, such as Nicole Catano, Jane McDevitt, and Kyle Harris, all of whom can regularly contribute posts on a bi-weekly basis. Without their support and all of your support, this company and the services we provide would not be where we're at today. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was a study where the authors concluded that professional athletes with lower isokinetic strength, lower hamstring to quadricep strength ratio, and a prior hamstring strain injury were associated with an increased risk of developing an acute hamstring strain. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses that are available through the Human Kinetics websites. We'll have links to these courses, the posts, and the article on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.